Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy.
Live from Seahawks Training Camp.
On 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake and I have been counting down the 15 most important Seahawks heading into the 2021 season. What makes them the most important Seahawks? Well, if you're talking about what's going to get the Seahawks to the Super Bowl, it means that each of these 15 Seahawks need to have fantastic years or have an outsized impact on whether or not the team makes it to the Super Bowl. We started with number 15, Carlos Dunlap, obviously has been a huge addition to the pass rush and will need to be there as young players develop, like Daryl Taylor. We've gotten all the way down to number 2, safety Jamal Adams.
Counting down to the most interesting Seahawk on the 2021 roster with Jake and Stacy.
Now, safety Jamal Adams. Stop laughing. Safety Jamal Adams was part of the biggest trade of John Schneider's career as a Seahawk. The team sent a pair of first-round picks plus a 2021 third-rounder and Bradley McDougal to the Jets in exchange for Adams. And Adams came here as one of the top strong safeties in the league. He was coming off his first time being an first-team All-Pro, was a second-time Pro Bowler, and was just 24 years old when he came to Seattle. He had 6.5 sacks last year, ended up breaking the record for most sacks in a single season by a defensive back last year when he got 9.5. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some drawbacks. For instance, Jamal Adams didn't get an interception, and in his 4-year career now, he has just 2 interceptions. Am I looking for your strong safety to lead the team in interceptions? Nah, probably not. But I am looking for him to contribute to great coverage for a team that last year was pretty bad against the pass. One of the worst pass defenses in the league. So it's a huge year for Jamal Adams. He is, technically, and it's very obvious when you just see him, one of the most talented, the most physically gifted players on your team. It is apparent when you watch him. Jake, what makes him the second most important Seahawk in 2021?
Jamal Adams is the most important Seahawks defender on this team. Yeah, I'm saying that over Bobby Wagner. Jamal Adams is the most important Seahawks defender on this team. Why? Because he is their playmaking weapon. I mean, just listen to it from himself. He doesn't classify himself as a strong safety or at any given position. Here in cut number 19, this is what he classifies himself as.
Well, I classify myself as a playmaker. You know what I mean? I can play anything you need me to do. Any position, really, and you know, I don't really classify myself just as a safety. You know, I classify myself as a defensive weapon. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to continue to play my ball, continue to do what they ask me to do, continue to learn, and that's all I can do.
Why? Because he is an incredibly talented run defender. He's a guy that can, I mean, he's the most prolific blitzing safety in NFL history. And he has just begun his career, right? And you look at what he can do in his skill set, his talent level, he's a guy that can do it all, truly. And I believe that when you look at Jamal Adams and the way that he was implemented this last year, they were trying to figure out the exact way to use him as well as make up for some of the deficiencies that they had on their defensive line last year, add some of that manufactured pressure by turning up the heat in the amount of times that they actually sent Jamal Adams on blitzes, which is something that is inherently something that Pete Carroll doesn't do. So they're working through this process, and despite all that, despite missing 4 games, he racks up 83 combined tackles. He racks up 11 tackles for loss. He racks up 14 quarterback hits and 9.5 sacks. Yeah, you would love to see the interception total increase. He dropped 4 easy interceptions in his hands that you would like to think that the next time he's presented with one of those opportunities that he will capitalize
on
it.
How different would people feel if he had 9.5 sacks and 4 interceptions?
Oh, very different. We wouldn't even be talking about a lot of this stuff, right? I mean, he would be, without a doubt, the best safety in the NFL. In terms of all rankings and all those types of things, Jamal Adams is somebody that not only did you bring him here because of how diverse he is and him as a playmaker, but him as a leader on this team, him as a guy that is a fire starter and someone that can bring that swag, that attitude, that loud boldness that you saw from the LOB days that was really missing with this team. And Jamal Adams is a great complement to Bobby Wagner. And I think that that is a huge reason why there are so much expectations. And let's relive some of those moments. Why don't we? How about cut number 23, Jamal Adams sending on a pressure. He's chasing down Cam Newton, and Cam Newton is about to walk in the end zone, and Jamal Adams chases this guy down, prevents a touchdown, chasing him from the other side of the field.
Burkhead stays in the backfield with a tight trips on the right side. Newton has time. Blitz is coming. He scrambles. He gets tripped. He goes down. It's Jamal Adams. Sprinting all the way from the far side of the field. Cam Newton was running back to the near side, tripped him up, dropped him at about the line of scrimmage. I don't know if that's going to count as a sack or if he's going to be called a running back at that point. At any rate, it's going to bring on the field goal team for the Pats.
And just for fun, how about we listen to one of those 9.5 sacks? Why don't we?
Third down and 10. Ward shifts over from left to right. Play fake inside. Wentz is being chased, and he goes down. Jamal Adams gets there all the way back to the 25-yard line. Another sack. That's the fourth one of the night. And this one goes to Jamal Adams as he comes off the corner, and Wentz didn't have a chance.
Now, earlier we were talking about Pro Football Focus's ranking of all defensive lines heading into the season with the Seahawks at number 29. I wonder if, in part, they got knocked because so much of the contribution to the pass rush was also from their safety, Jamal Adams, with 9.5 sacks last year, and he is going to need to contribute to that this year. I think the hope for Seattle is that you get enough from a guy like Daryl Taylor, whether it's Sam or if he ever lines up at D-end, or that you get enough from other guys on your defensive line, maybe a second year with Alton Robinson, a full year, hopefully, fingers crossed, for Carlos Dunlap, that you don't need Adams to do that as much. And to me, Jake, there are two separate things. You can, if you want to, you can both look at Jamal Adams and think that he has some flaws and be hesitant as to whether or not you would pay him $17, potentially $18 million per year. I mean, Mark Ross of NFL Network thinks potentially the Seahawks should cut their losses and let him walk in free agency after this year. I think it would make it a horrible trade and it would be a huge mistake, but I understand why someone would think that. You can think that and also recognize that Jamal Adams is in it, just unreal part of your success for this year.
Yeah.
That having him as, and saying Swiss Army knife doesn't really do it justice, his role, but having him, like you said, as a playmaker, that's a better explanation, on your defense is what could be the difference for you. And also on your defense, when you have two new starters at cornerback, you could have two new starting cornerbacks, and you need stability from your safety group. You need stability from Quandre Diggs and from Jamal Adams. That's going to be a huge part of making sure your secondary improves last year, because as good as the second half of the season was with your pass rush, you still finished near the bottom of the league in pass defense.
It's true, and that's why you want to see the evolution. You want to see Jamal Adams grow in his all-around game. You want to see the defense grow in its all-around game. That's why, you know, I talked about it at the very beginning. Jamal Adams was used very heavily in those blitz package situations because the team needed it at the time. You're hoping that this team, especially the defensive line with this edge depth that they have acquired, that they won't need to do that. What you want to see, and what I anticipate, I think Jamal Adams is still going to get his in terms of the sacks. I still think he's going to generate 6 to 8 sacks this season. The difference, he'll be more efficient because you're going to be able to disguise those looks better. You're not going to have to use them as much. But Jamal Adams, make no mistake, he is very, very crafty and very successful at getting to the quarterback. It's an uncanny ability that he has for his position. But the one thing that you want to see him do is be well-rounded. In cut number 20, Ken Norton Jr. speaks to just that.
He came into a new situation last year, didn't know a lot of the defense, has kind of learned it really fast. We've had an offseason with him now, and he's been able to learn all the coverages at a slow pace because he hasn't been out there. So you'll see a more of a balanced guy. He's not just, you know, not just a blitzer. You'll see a blitzer as well as a cover guy, a guy that's able to play both sides. So he will certainly be more well-rounded.
And so when you talk about that, him being more well-rounded, he'll being more understanding of the scheme from a pass coverage perspective, I think you are going to see, and I fully believe that you're going to see Jamal Adams take the next step in that area. In cut number 22, you know, one of the reasons why we made Jamal Adams number two in front of Bobby Wagner, it's not to say that Bobby Wagner's role is diminished by any stretch, but Jamal Adams' playmaking ability, if he can be a better better in pass coverage, we know what he can be as a run defender. We know his unique ability.
I mean, his role itself literally allows him to be in more parts of the field than Wagner.
It does. But here in cut number 22, Pete Carroll just goes on and talks about the importance that Adams is to this defense.
He's a big factor. He's such a playmaker. Kenny's done such a good job of tying him into the defense right from the moment he got here. As a coverage guy near the line of scrimmage, he's really good. As a run defender, he's really good. And as a pressure guy, he's the best in the history of the game. So he has a really wide range of stuff that he brings. Plus, and the thing that I hope our fans will see, you know, when they get to see him this year, they'll see his energy that he brings too and adds to the defense. He's very, very high-spirited and very tough and just adds a ton in that regard.
And as the 570 eloquently stated, as an inside joke, Jamal Adams is a true jack of all aces.
That he is.
Yes, he is.
True jack of all aces.
Agree with that. So now you look at what he is able to do, Jamal Adams. I just think that when the effect that he will have on this team is so dramatic, and especially think about it. Lumen Field, you get the crowd back, you get it rocking. You get Jamal Adams in that environment with the 12s, it is going to be hyped. And I think that you're going to see this defense take it to a whole nother level if Jamal Adams is able to be at his peak. The big question mark is, how healthy is he coming off of all the surgeries that he had on his shoulders, on his fingers? That is the big question mark that we will have, and how quickly can he get back out on the practice field, not just because of the injury, but also because of the contract negotiation that he has, the showdown that he has going on right now with the organization, looking to get a massive payday, and my assumption is it'll be somewhere around $17.5 million in how this is going, but I hope that they can get this figured out sooner than later, because they need him on the field practicing. They need his energy. They need the work together to build that chemistry. Jamal Adams is the most important defensive player for the Seattle Seahawks heading into the 2021 season.
All right, and that was our 15 most important Seahawks countdown with Jamal Adams coming in at number 2. And we'll see when he gets back out there at training camp. Presumably it will be after he signs his contract, after that's done. Not sure that it's done or close to being done yet, but I think you were expecting potentially sometime in the first 1-3 weeks of August that it would be done. We'll see how that unfolds, though. As a reminder, our training camp coverage presented by Precor Home Fitness. It is time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number 1, the Mariners fall in the series finale yesterday to the Tampa Bay Rays, but they will take on a Yankees team that continues to get hit hard by COVID. Most recent news, Gary Sanchez placed on the COVID list.
Real headline? Yankees have a shot at a wild card this year, which is also the only shot they're not avoiding. Now, I don't know if the players who tested positive are vaccinated. Apologies if they are. It had to do it for the joke.
That's the most important part.
It's the most important part of my reporting in this moment. It is not facts. It is my own joke.
Look, all things aside, you look at this road schedule that the Mariners are currently on, and you look at this 4-game series with the Yankees. I hate to say it in this way or put it in this context, but like the Mariners, this is an opportunity that you can't afford to miss out on. I mean, you're facing the Yankees not at their very best, not at full strength, and you should be taking advantage of that situation when it comes to walking out of there, at least splitting the series. I hope that's what happens, and the Mariners are more than capable of doing it, and I hope they can, because the Yankees got the better of you last time.
Well, and I know that the Yankees, they're the first team out of the second wild card spot at 58-49, technically 2 games wild card back, just because of Oakland's record at 61-48. And with Seattle the third team out of the second wild card spot, it feels like they're much further away, but they're only 3 games back at 58-51. Yankees 2 games back, Seattle 3 games back. It's certainly possible to make very real ground during this series.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what puts even more importance to this series, no doubt.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, Philip Rivers. Recently retired Philip Rivers says he would reportedly consider joining a quarterback needy team late in this season. So what is the real headline?
When you got nine kids, you can't really afford to take a day off. You got to get back out there. Mm-hmm. You went home and thought, you know what? Actually, that pays pretty well.
A lot of bulk supplies
now,
you need to buy.
My favorite thing is that there is currently a quarterback needy team early in the season that he's just completely overlooking.
Right.
With Indianapolis now being without Carson Wentz for potentially up to 12 weeks.
Right. I bet the Colts are looking at him like, for real, dude?
Yeah.
Like, really? Really?
I'm
at the
right
end of the
here.
Season? Like, yo, we could take you right now. But hey, remember, he's a head coach for a high school team. You can't just abandon those guys.
You gotta get those
kids
to the
playoffs. You can't put them in a bad situation like that. Come on, Phil. So, look, that's what he's saying. Like, I'm going to go through the entire season coaching the kids, and I'm absolutely going to be dedicated to that. But if there is a team that needs me for a week, two, heading into the playoffs, you know my number. Give me a call.
Give
I'll be there.
A call.
I got you.
Let
Who's more desperate for a job right now, Nick Foles or Philip Rivers?
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. I would love to see Nick Foles in Indy. I would love to see him in
Philip
Indy.
Philip Rivers would be like, ah, oh, dadgum, shoot, man. Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah, sure. I got you covered.
Well,
but Nick Foles is like, no, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm third string. I'm dicing it up. Just check the reports. Check it out there. I'm dicing it up on scout team with the third stringers
right.
with the Bears. Frank Reich, remember me.
Yeah, it's
we won a Super Bowl together.
You can't be tampering, but I would certainly say yes.
He knows me so well. So unbelievably well. We've just got this connection that just can't be matched. But, yeah, I'm still a Chicago
I love the idea of Nick Foles sending secret messages during his press conference.
I love the idea of Nick Foles pulling an Earl Thomas and saying, come get me.
Yes.
Come get me.
Bear down.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number three. Tonight, the Cowboys and the Steelers face off in the NFL's Hall of Fame game. What is the real headline?
It's also known as the league's annual test of just how addicted you are to football, comma, you sicko. Get
just
help.
Look at yourself.
Get help. Look at yourself right now. Look at you. You're sitting in front of your TV
on
August 5th watching third-string Cowboys play third-string Steelers. You need help. You need help.
This is a cry for help.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. There's nothing wrong with being pumped and amped that football is back.
Jake.
That we get the Hall of Fame game.
Jake,
this is exciting stuff, guys.
Name me
the
one
NFL
Hall
is right
of
around
fame
the corner,
memory you've
and
ever
you
had.
Can watch this. Well, it's
name me one.
You know when
What's
they
the best
walk
game
those
you've ever
when
seen?
They walk those future Hall of Famers
oh,
out there
man.
Pregame and they you know have them wave to the crowd. Oh, it gets me every time. Yeah, let's go. Football is back, baby.
Now
let's go.
You're gonna have. I loved this name. I saw it earlier in the show. Obviously, Ben DiNucci, or as they say, Curtis
Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
Cassius Marsh.
I am that excited.
Are you gonna live tweet it? I think you should live tweet the Hall of Fame
just
game,
play by play.
Oh my god! And I think you should be really critical about it. Like you got to make that catch.
You should do a Baldy breakdown of like just a random play from the fourth quarter, fourth string. Boom, look here. Number six, the way he gets out off his block. Oh!
You can't win a Super Bowl like
Guys,
that.
Guys, don't say this because I'll do it.
I fully believe that you're going to do it. You have an addiction. And anyone listening that's going to tune into this game, you guys are sick.
Well, I mean, look, it's
you
just like the, it's like
help.
The Saturday
I mean, I get
night
it.
Skit.
I get
you know,
it.
Like I got a fever. I need more football.
You got a fever.
Like, let's go. I mean,
and the only cure
that's right
is football.
Is football, and the Hall of Fame game is where I can get my first taste and first action of it. Let's go, man! I'm so excited.
We have Hype Train coming up next, which normally we do on Wednesdays, and I can't. We're not going to do this one, but one of my hype trains would otherwise be that mistaking Bon Jovi for Journey the band is. Fair?
No.
A fair mistake
it's not.
That
it's
any
not.
Adult human could make.
It's not at all. It's not at all. And the
the way you ask the question,
yes,
too. Here.
Bon Jovi.
Here. Let Curtis tell everybody how it went down.
The way you confuse the two is you ask Jake and I, what band is that Bon Jovi guy from?
I guess in my mind, Bon Jovi
you've answered the question.
Was the lead singer of Journey.
No.
They're kind of the same thing.
No, they're not.
How are they not the same? Have I heard a Bon Jovi song?
Yes, yeah. You were literally singing it.
Oh, that's that one.
Yes,
well, see,
Living
I thought that
on
was
a Prayer.
Well, the
living
problem is, I thought Living
was
on
a Bon Jovi song.
I thought it was a Journey song.
Oh,
this all happened during a commercial break.
Yeah.
And
immediately
Jake and I were rolling on the floor.
Like, literally, I fell to the floor. I couldn't believe what she had just asked. Bon Jovi.
I'm sorry. My pop culture knowledge is from 2019 to 2016. Anything before or after doesn't resonate with me.
Oh, come on.
Bob Stelton right now
is
he's throwing his fist through the nearest wall.
What I hope is that Bob Stelton was not on his motorcycle listening.
Because he would have crashed.
Yeah, he would have. He would have veered off the road and crashed. You would have killed Bob Stelton.
Oh, I should keep it going, though. I should be like, that Van Halen guy. Now, he's not in a band with Bono,
he's with
right?
He's the Beatles, I think, right?
Well, then I wouldn't get Van Halen mixed up with the Beatles, because I know that the Beatles are British.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
And Van Halen is not.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you didn't mix those guys up. I mean, I would hate for that to be the case. And
I do what I can.
You know, I still am trying to get over the fact that you, Bon Jovi, literally the name of Bon Jovi. That's the artist.
The band.
And the band.
Right.
And you mixed it with Steve Perry and Journey. I still can't wrap my head around it.
Apologies
but we'll,
to Mr. Perry.
We'll have to move on.
All right, coming up next, we've got four sports hot takes, and you need to tell us whether you're boarding the hype train. This is Jake and Stacey.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Live from the sidelines at Seahawks training camp.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
Now here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
I feel like I find it necessary to tell people that I was like, a double major who was like pre-law and like that my IQ is in no way connected to getting Journey and Bon Jovi confused because the text line jumping all over that one. Although some people taking it in stride, recognizing the joke and also telling me of the dumbest questions they've been asked. I love this one from the 425. Don't feel bad, Stacey. My brother-in-law once asked, which lake is it, Moses Lake?
I mean,
that's pretty good. Okay. Yeah, that's
I still don't feel bad. I still don't feel bad about it.
Nor
it is
should
what it is.
No,
I don't. I don't care.
Shouldn't at
I
all.
I really don't care. All right. Now, if you guys don't know, I will remind you, Hype Train is when I tell you the top trends, hot takes in sports today and this week, and you tell me whether or not you're boarding that Hype Train. So let's head down to the station and get it started. So we've been talking about Pro Football Focus's ranking of all defensive lines, 1 through 32. The Seahawks coming in at number 29. Jake not happy about that. Here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, starting with you, Jake. The Seahawks DL can be a top 10 unit in 2021.
Curtis, fire that baby up! Yes, I do. I am getting on that hype train, and here's why. Because I think that when you look at, just objectively, what this group was able to do a year ago, they improved their edge rushing unit, and not just by like a little bit, a lot of it. And now that's to say they're at a really low bar from where they were a year ago and what they had. I think they've improved dramatically their pass rushing depth and their unit. Now we have to figure out how they're going to bring that interior pressure to complement Puna Ford and what they're going to do there. But overall, I believe that this defensive line unit can be a top 10 unit. I believe that when it's all said and done, this could be a group that can rack up a ton of pressures, a ton of sacks. That's what gets me really positive, and I'm definitely boarding this hype train.
Curtis.
I am also going to hop aboard this hype train because, like, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but last year's defensive line at the end of the season was pretty good. They've added to that. They have not subtracted from that. I mean, yeah, Jaron Reed is not here anymore, but they've added Kerry Hyder Jr. They brought back Benson Mayowa. Alden Smith is here, who could be good in spurts. I don't see the Seahawks dropping off from what they were at the end of the season last year. You get a full season of Carlos Dunlap, hopefully a full season of Jamal Adams, who can also add to your sack total this year. But like you mentioned, Jake, the interior of your defensive line, I think, is still maybe the biggest question mark of your defense, but I think the Seahawks can finish in the top half of the defensive lines across the league. Stacey, what do you think?
Jake aboard, Curtis aboard. I am not aboard.
Ooh.
Now, call me a hater if you want. That's fine.
You're
but here's the thing. Here's the most important thing. I think they are better than 29. I absolutely think they're better than 29. And I don't think they need to be top 10 for this team to make a deep playoff push. I really don't. I think if your offense gets going and can be elite, you don't need an elite defensive line. You don't. I don't know that they can be a top 10 because there are some really great defenses heading into this season, and it's going to be tough to top them. All right, next train. Now, this one is inspired by ESPN's Mina Kimes. She tweeted a joke about Dan Campbell's comments that he just drinks an absurd amount of coffee. And here's what she said, and it's also the hype train. It's official. Dan Campbell would win a battle royale amongst all head coaches in the NFL only. Jake. Who would win in a battle royale? No rules.
Now, think about this.
No weapons, Dan, just physical fighting.
Okay. Dan Campbell versus Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh is still younger than Dan Campbell, and I think he takes him. I think Dan Campbell is one of those guys that would fight dirty, would do anything he could to win. He's a psychopath, but I think that Robert Saleh wins that fight. I do.
I think that the thing with Dan Campbell, and Curtis, I wonder if you agree with me on this, because Jake not boarding this train.
Nope.
Dan Campbell would play dirty.
Yeah, he's going to bite some kneecaps.
Yeah. So, yes, I think Robert Saleh wouldn't literally tear flesh off of another human, and I think Dan Campbell would.
But he might not need to. I mean, he's a big dude, too, and he's more physically in shape. Did you see Dan Campbell try to do those up-downs in camp the other day? I mean, it wasn't necessarily pretty. I mean,
true.
He gritted through it, but
Campbell is a big dude. Look at his playing stats. 6'5", 265
he played at
as a tight end.
And he's running at peak adrenaline because of all the coffee he's having.
Yeah, this guy's going to black out in any sort of battle royale scenario.
This guy's going to kill people with his bare hands.
He's going to have blood on his teeth.
That's
and then
exactly
lick
right.
his lips. I'm getting
aboard, too. All right, next train. We had Abraham Toro on Newest Mariner at 11:30. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. It was a very controversial trade, sending Graveman to Houston, but Jerry DePoto was right to do it.
I am boarding this hype train. Listen to me, all of you out there that were way too emotional about this trade. In your car, at your house, just lift your hand up and say, I admit that this trade has worked out pretty good, and Jerry DePoto, so far, this trade has looked pretty good for the Mariners. I mean, look, I was upset about the Graveman trade. I think that when you look at it objectively and look at a 24-year-old piece, when you put it in the context of 2021, not for 2022 and beyond, because I got it from the moment that they did it with Toro and his upside and what he can be for the club. And also when you talk about Castillo and all that, and he, him being already a proven closer, but it was really mainly Toro. That trade is panning out for you right now. It is helping you win games now. And that was the part that I didn't anticipate. And when you had Graveman, who helped make that bullpen be as solid and as dominant as it was, that's a tough pill to swallow. That's something that's hard to wrap your head around in the moment, especially off of that huge win against the Astros. You feel like you've got some serious momentum in this town, in that clubhouse. It just seemed to be a trade that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But since this has panned out, Jerry DePoto, it looks like a pretty good deal to me.
Curtis.
Yeah, what was the bigger need for the Mariners at the deadline? Was it bullpen help or was it helping the lineup? And it's obviously been helping the lineup. The Mariners' bullpen was built to withstand a move like trading Kendall Graveman. They got Diego Castillo back, and Abraham Toro has been a huge lift to this offense. We heard from Jerry DePoto this morning with Danny Gallant. He's hitting like he's OPSing 1420 right now, which is absurd. That's like Barry Bonds levels, which is not going to be sustainable, obviously. He's going to come back down to earth, but who's to say he can't OPS above 800? Like, that's above average in Major League Baseball. Abraham Toro has helped out the Mariners more within this last week than I think Kendall Graveman would have. Graveman isn't available to pitch every day, whereas Toro is available to play every day. I think this has been a great trade that the Mariners made, and Toro's here for at least a few more years. Graveman would have been a free agent.
I'm also boarding this train, but I'm doing so sulking and pouting. I'm going to complain the whole time.
Like, I'll get on, yeah. but I'm not going to be
but
happy
But I'm not
about
happy
it.
About it. That's exactly what I'm doing. By the way, someone on the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710, saying, Mike Vrabel. He looks like he just got back from Battle Royale, just getting out
well,
of bed.
Well, that's actually a really good call, too. Like,
from
I mean,
a linebacker?
Yeah. If we're really thinking hard about this, yeah, Mike Vrabel is, he's winning the Battle Royale. I mean, a successful NFL linebacker who, to this day, still gets involved in drills. Yeah, I mean,
is he as quick on his feet though?
Yes, wait,
I think Campbell is
look at
quicker.
Dan Campbell. He can barely move his knees. He's got damaged knees.
He doesn't need them. He's going to take other people's knees.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with the 206 on this one. Like now, you bring him up. I completely forgot about Vrabel. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. That's a clear winner, right?
All
there.
Right, you've got questions. We've got answers. Get your questions in now for what I need to know. Any question you want, 710-710. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Live from the sidelines at Seahawks training camp.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Now here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Now this is when we turn it over to you guys for the final segment. It's What I Need to Know. Here's how it works. You send in any single question you want, Seahawks, Mariners, anything, to 710-710. So let's get started with this one. Non-sports question. If you're a pro wrestler, would you play a good guy or play as the heel?
I mean, the heels are more fun.
Yeah, I think Curtis would be an excellent heel.
Oh, I'd
like,
love it.
Excellent heel. I'm not as good with quips, and usually bad. Like the good guys,
Jake, you would be a good guy.
They're not as clever, right? And so yeah. I think that would be the role that I would play.
Yes. I'm a natural heel. I think.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
If there's ever been one, that would be me.
When you think heels, you think of guys like Ric Flair and all those who do have incredible mic skills. And Jake, I'm not knocking your mic skills, but like you kind of give off John Cena vibes, where it's like nothing this guy does is wrong.
Yeah,
he's everything he does is great.
In every other like movie,
kids love him.
Yeah. Adults love him.
What I wish I could be is I. Now, here's a question for you. Is The Rock a heel or is he the good guy?
That's what makes pro wrestling so great. I don't know if he's good or bad.
You don't know. I mean, that's why he eventually became what he did. But.
Your one heel tendency is when you go to Husky fans. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
It's fantastic. Next question here. This one from the 425. What I need to know. Are boneless chicken wings actually wings or are they nuggets?
They're whatever you want them to be.
They're not wings.
Curtis
like I
is
said,
going,
they're whatever you want them to be.
Curtis is going with the non-classification route. I am going to say that boneless chicken wings are actual wings.
This is him trying to be a heel. This is him
trying to go
against
they're
the
not nuggets.
And say something
they
we
not
all know
nuggets.
To be false.
We all know what nuggets look like, taste like, the texture
of them.
Yeah,
they look like boneless wings.
No, they don't. The boneless wings are a clear cut above just regular nuggets. Okay? Have you eaten a nugget lately?
No, unfortunately.
Okay,
I
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake, a father of three, has lightly eaten chicken nuggets.
Many
within
Dino
24
nuggets
hours.
Like almost every day, okay? Like I'm very familiar.
From the 253. What I need to know, Jake, do you miss the dog days of summer in football practice? I can tell you I'm not enjoying it as a youth football coach right now.
What I would like to say to the 253 right here as a youth football coach. How do you herd these kids? Like, that's the thing that just amazes me is, you know, hats off to all of you youth football coaches out there. Need good quality youth football coaches that are in it for actually teaching the kids the game rather than their own self-ego and trying to, you know, get back into it and live through these kids and do ridiculous things. But, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just herding these kids and getting them to actually, like, pay attention and to go through the game and get them in shape. It's wild. But I do miss the dog days of summer in football practice. I do miss going through training camp in 2-a-days and being at the halfway point and feeling like you don't even know what's up and what's down and you're just trying to get through and survive. You go through that as a team and it's some great memories are made during those times. I definitely miss it.
From the 360, given the talent at tight end this season for the Seahawks, will we see a lot of three tight end sets?
No, you're not going to see a ton of it. You will see it at different points in time. We actually did see it a little bit 2 days ago at practice, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of it. I think this team is going to live more in 11 personnel, and they're going to sprinkle in 12 personnel.
Well, and they don't have a ton of like elite pass catching tight ends where you'd want to like, or even like a run first team. Like, why would you not have Lockett and Metcalf and Eskridge when he's healthy?
Correct.
On the field, you know, versus.
Yeah, you want speed. Disley, you want mismatches. Parkinson. You want those different things out there at all times. 100% agree with you. It may be a wrinkle that they add in, but it's definitely not the world that they're going to live in.
It is a fair question, given obviously that Disley's been a presence, that they went out and signed one of their first free agents with Gerald Everett, spent $6 million on that one-year deal, and that they've been focusing on Parkinson so much in camp. Like, it's a completely fair question. Next question here. Whew, if you can believe it, this is from another Curtis in the 253. Wow. What I need to know, who
duel or something?
Who wins a championship first, the Mariners or the Kraken?
This text line's not big enough for the both of us.
Yeah. Block that number, Curtis. Block that number.
Kraken got to play a game first.
Great question, Curtis from the 253. That's not C. Raj. Very, very weird. Who's going to win it first?
I mean, I think that.
I think this is very easy. The Seahawks have, I would bet that they would win it first before the Mariners.
No, Mariners or Kraken.
Oh, Mariners or Kraken.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are much more open to some randomness.
It's true.
Which could work in the Kraken favor.
And you obviously have the recency of Vegas having success.
Well, and there's more teams,
Seattle with a very different expansion.
There's more
approach.
Teams that make the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
It's true. The one thing that I hate giving a cop-out answer right now because the Kraken aren't done. We don't know what this team is going to look like heading into the year. Right now, they still have moves that they need to make, particularly on the offensive end, I think. So,
right now, I think the Kraken. But
really?
I don't mean it as a dig. I just think it's going to be a different road for them that's
yeah.
a little expedited.
Well, and also, the salary cap in the NHL kind of generates more turnover from year to year than in Major League Baseball, where you can spend whatever
well,
you want.
And sometimes MLB is just a rich get richer. What do we see at the trade deadline? Rich get richer.
True.
Well, yeah, we saw the Dodgers last night sign Cole Hamels.
Yeah. And it's not that the Mariners can't be one of those teams. It's just they've been unwilling to. What I need to know, speaking of the Mariners, will you guys be okay if the Mariners don't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I will. I'll be okay. Now, will I be happy about it? No. It also kind of depends on how it finishes and how it ends. I mean, let's fast forward to September and see what ends up happening. I mean, if they lost in some horrific fashion, no, I would not be okay with that. I'd be very upset. But, I mean, overall, them being in this position right now is a tremendous positive, and I hope that they continue to keep in it in the wild card race, make it competitive, be in the hunt. That is my hope and my goal for them. And if they were able to sneak into the wild card and get to the playoffs, it would be an incredible feeling. But I feel like they're in a really good place in terms of how this developmental process is going and the rebuilding process is going. And it's setting up for a very exciting near future.
All right. That'll do it for us. For Jake Heaps, for Curtis Rogers, for Stacey Ross, thanks so much for listening to Jake and Stacey. As a reminder, Tyler Anderson and the Mariners take on the Yankees this afternoon.
Let's
from
go,
the Bronx.
Mariners!
Pregame starts at 3, but don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob will take you right into it coming up next on 710 ESPN Seattle.